Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Comb by memory code, he'll find all the meaning is sorted. Low five, ever the joy, you remind me of someone I know well. Where the lightning don't incite me, shine everything home of the line, real love. Complicators out, we're alive in a traveling home. Constellation of pride, it's high, the unraveling hope. Well, where the lightning don't incite me, tried everything, hold the line real low.
and welcome to Here and Now here at Radio Free Brooklyn. Our regular host, Rachel, could not be here. She is off in Germany enjoying her break. My name is Aaron, and I am going to be your host extraordinaire for the evening. A couple of little housekeeping things before we get started here. As you know, Radio Free Brooklyn is a donation-based program. It is a 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. If you want to support us, we would love you to make a one-time donation or a monthly pledge at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Every contribution is tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. Again, that is radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Speaking of donations, we also have an after school program, which will be launching for local teenagers in 2019 to learn media literacy through media, making use of a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you'd be interested in participating or donating to this program, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool. And again, those donations are all tax deductible. And we thank you in advance. If you're curious about the music that we were playing earlier, those are some songs that are going to be performing. Those are some bands that are going to be performing actually tomorrow, if you are interested in checking them out. That was Kerosene Dream by North by North and Lightning by Adeline Hotel. And special today, I have a guest in here. Who goes by the name Caitlin Montclair from the band Monty. Caitlin, say hi.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Monty is a pretty recent band starting, when would you say?
About a year ago, exactly.
About a year ago. So about a year ago, I found her actually sitting in on another show that was playing your music, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. Have been listening to it nonstop since then, and just
thanks.
I am a big fan. We're big fans of you here. We know that you were actually on the Roden Hour a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was awesome. You guys are great.
Yeah, that was also a great show. Feel free to listen to that, folks, if you want more lovely Caitlin Montclair content. In the meantime, thought we would start off by chatting with you a little bit about kind of how you kind of pulled this band together, you know, how that kind of started.
Okay, so this project kind of, well, I had been, let me back it up. I had been in a bunch of different bands. I had been writing music for a very long time, I guess, since I started playing the guitar about 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the last project I was in, I was unhappy and I almost felt like I was placed in a box and I wasn't able to really express myself the way I wanted to. And the songs that I had recorded, I wasn't 100% satisfied with those either. And I decided that I had all the material. I had the guitar, I had my thoughts and my, songs. So I decided to start a new project about January 1st, actually, was the first Instagram post that started this whole thing off. So I guess I started a year ago, and I got my recording together. I met up with a guy named Chris Krasnow, who had worked with me on a previous project, just recording a demo for me. And he had a studio space and was willing to work with me and actually play the drums on the EP and the single that were released.
Nice. That EP and single being
Bad Sick Love.
Single is Bitch, which is it's so good.
Awesome.
But the people who played in that EP were friends?
It was just me. Really, it was me playing the guitar and bass and singing all of the melodies and harmonies and Chris on drums. And then he also mixed and did a phenomenal job. He's a great engineer. Okay. Yeah, the studio is called Wonder Park.
Wonder Park.
Yeah, Wonder Park Studios.
Awesome. So you kind of did that together yourself. And when you play live,
So, so my band is kind of a mix of different people that I play with, but it's been pretty consistent for the past couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give and take a couple of shows that my bassist couldn't be at. But my bassist, Amanda, I met her while I was at the new school. I went to the new school for, I went to Eugene Lang, but I went for audio engineering and contemporary music.
Yeah.
And I met her in a songwriting class, and she was wild and, like, really expressive and very cool and very rock and roll, but she was also very jazz and very zen, and I just really dug her vibe. And I guess she called me to play a gig with her at Joe's Pub a while back. And ever since then, I had her contact. So when I started this new project, I reached out to her. And I guess I asked her if she knew of any drummers. She sent me some pretty rad people. So I've played with, like, 4 or 5 different drummers. Devin Collins has played with me on numerous shows. The guy's a beast. He's a machine. He's amazing. he played with me at the Brooklyn Bazaar show.
Nice.
A couple of, I don't think the last one, but the one before it, and the Halloween show.
Ooh.
So he played with me, but the guy who I have now is Ismail, and he's completely rad. He's really great and really into the project and very, he's, like, inspiring me to do more and write more and be more progressive with this project. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Good.
Like, write, like, what kind of material? Like, what are you saying? Like, write more.
Well, write just more of my own stuff. He's, like, really into the project. So the fact that he's so into this and believes so much in it, it's, like, pushing me to keep working and producing content. And I just got out of the studio creating an EPK. It's a live EPK.
Oh.
So it's a bunch of live videos of us performing and then interview segments and B-rolls of, like, live out in, you know, whatever venue we're playing at.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you say you call it a project, kind of interesting, like, for a band. Like, why do you think of it as a project, per se? Do you have a goal for it?
I think every band is a project, and there's definitely a goal. I don't use a project as a hobbyist would, I guess, because it's not like I'm sitting down and whittling. But because music is really first and foremost. I was a chef for a while. I worked a lot in the service industry, and I put down the tongs a couple of, like, months ago. I were actually, like, coming on a year to do this project because I really just wanted to dedicate my full time to it.
Yeah.
But I call it a project because I guess I've taken so much of recycled material and revamped it, and I've just created something new. And I don't know. I guess it's the word I used.
just kind of like a new thing. Because it's a new thing, instead of saying, I'm doing a thing, you say, I've got a project.
Well, it is a band.
On.
It's a band. It's a project. It's a experience. I mean, I'm Monty. It's Monty. The band is Monty. It's a whole, you know, it's Madonna.
Exactly. So, like, what is your, like, what do you hope that other people get from?
The goal as in any artist, I guess the goal is to be heard and to express yourself and to make some kind of an impact on somebody's life.
Sure.
Whether they're, like, sitting in their car dealing with a breakup, crying over it, they turn on the radio, they hear a song they love, or they hear a song they hate. I mean, music evokes such a feeling. I mean, no matter where you are, what you're doing, it can stop you in your tracks. And I feel like that's what I love about this. If you come to one of our shows, we're out of control. We're moving around, we're jumping around, screaming, yelling. I mean, I'm all over the place, and I try to get people and I encourage people to get up and move and dance. I feel like a lot of the time in this Brooklyn scene, there's a lot of wallflowers. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really, like, into getting up on the front of the stage because it's not cool, or they don't want to seem like they're into this band for some reason. It's a very strange situation. So yeah, it's like just trying to get people to move, get people to feel something, get people to express themselves and think differently as well.
So you've tried to invite people up on stage while you've been...
I haven't invited anybody up on stage in this current project. I remember doing that a pretty long time ago when I was in a band called Hot Toddy. I think I brought somebody up on stage for some reason or another. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Oh, I don't even remember. It was like, it was crazy. I used to drink. No, but I never drink before a show, though. That's like a rule of mine now. Never drink before a show, ever. Yeah.
Well, do you have any other rituals?
Rituals. Yeah. Rituals before a show?
Before a show, yeah.
Before a show. I can't eat. It's a lot of can'ts. It's a lot of I'm not going to eat. I don't like feeling full or bloated before I'm on stage.
Yeah.
I don't like to smoke weed before I play. Everything happens after. The party for me always happens after. Like, things will either happen a couple of hours prior, but, like, I guess from the hour that I am there getting myself ready to the time where I'm, like, about to get on stage. I like to be completely, like, clear-headed.
Yeah.
There are a lot of words in my songs and a lot of stops. And there's only one guitarist, and that's me. So I am in control of everything. And if I fall down, everybody falls down. But thank God I have the rhythm section. I do. Those guys break it down hard. They are great. So if I fuck up, I know Amanda's going to be there, like, boom, 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 on the bass, like, rocking out and riding it out while I deal with my situation. Yeah, so.
That's really awesome. Yeah. So, I just had a question, and then I got distracted.
Sorry about my bass tones.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm feeling the beat. I'm going that direction. Open. I've lost mine. Okay, well, until that comes back, we'll ask a different question. So how many different bands have you played in?
I know. Some things that I've, like, just subbed in or bands that I've just played with. I've been in about 6 or 7 various things, like, whether it's just, like, stepping in for a couple of days or being in it. So I also do a lot of just writing different kinds of music. But the punk and metal and rock and roll thing is all stuff I love to do on stage, and I'll, like, sit and I'll like, you know, breathe rock and roll all day. But I love to just sit and write whatever comes to mind. Sometimes that's a country song, and sometimes it's a pop song, and sometimes it's, like, who knows, an electronic song. And so I do a little bit of writing on the side as well.
Cool. So would you pursue any of those other ones, or you're saying that, like,
well, like, hard those rock are, and roll is... Yeah, I feel like as a band, as what Monty is, it's a hard rock and roll band with punk metal influences. And I was also really into, like, I hate to say the, like, ska vibes, which is is not cool anymore. But when I was a kid,
I feel like music,
you know,
like, choice is subjective. Like, yeah, it's cool, you know, if it makes you happy.
I mean, Sublime was my all-time favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
Favorite for a long time when I was a kid. So I guess, and I loved reggae as a child.
Yeah.
I guess those things kind of stay with you, and you develop things that seem inspired.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was not, I can't say I was, like, very explorative in my music, but I have been more so now. I think, like, my version of being, like, cool in middle school was, like, listening to Green Day. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, like, as punk as I could go.
Yeah, then that's totally cool. They are cool.
But, I mean,
I did nothing cool. I would listen to bands that nobody listened to. I started listening to, like, a lot of, like, hip hop, but not, like, cool hip hop, like, really hard, aggressive hip hop that nobody would listen to. And then I started listening to, like, rap metal and Korn, and I got into, like, the black metal thing. And I just never fit into a real box until high school and like, late middle school. And I started meeting these people who were into the same music. And I guess it's not about what's cool. It's about meeting people and being in a scene that you feel cool in.
Sure.
Because that's what matters.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you feel cool?
Do I feel cool? I'm a complete loser. I'm such a nerd. I love trivia. I watch Jeopardy. I play some video games sometimes. I write a lot of dumb music. And I read. I'm a total loser.
I mean, we could turn this into a video game and book conversation if you want.
Oh, yeah. No, we're totally not.
I do work in book publishing.
See, see, I'm not an uber gamer, but I do. Like, okay, so for Christmas, I don't have any game systems. I got an Xbox One X for Christmas. It was, like, the thing that I got.
Sure.
I've been spending the last 30 hours playing Red Dead Redemption.
The new one.
No, it's, I was like dying to get it because I was really into Westworld. I was like, I gotta be into this Westworld. But like in Red Dead world. And it was, yeah, no, it's nuts. I need to stop it's because really it's good. Making me stupid.
I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of like a different kind of storytelling. Like it's a different way to read.
Totally.
You're like playing with it.
Totally. And I also like when I need to separate myself from everything, it's a really nice. And like even like with my own thoughts, sometimes I find reading, it's really hard for me to just like put it away. So like I feel like I can just like throw my brain away. It's like when people watch shitty TV. It's like the same mindless garbage.
Yeah, totally. There's all sorts of stuff out there.
Oh yeah.
And on that note, do you have any songs that you would like to try playing for us?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll play a favorite that I think I'm gonna be doing a music video for.
Ooh.
I haven't set the date.
Okay.
But I have the videographer and I have the place. So I guess I'm gonna do No One to Say I Love You. That's Empty.
Yeah.
It's also a major breakup song, and I just went through a breakup 2 days before Christmas.
Ugh.
Oh, by the way, awful. Quick announcement. If anybody wants a bass, I'm selling a silver Squire P bass for $200 with a case, with pink strings, with a whole bunch of stuff. It was a present that my X will not receive. So if you want
some lucky winner,
it's a brand new, the plastic wrap is still on it. It is still there.
Yeah. All right. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to go into it.
All right. So this one is called Empty is the parenthesis. Okay. I have a little bit of headphones. I fall in love too quick, left heartbroken, left sick, alone on a Saturday night, drinking and getting high, trying to forget you and all the lies that you had spewed. You were so untrue, untrue, I never felt so to do when there's no one to say I love you too. So I walk the streets at night and find a lover that'll simply do. Ooh, ooh, cheap thrills and action, I crave your reaction. By the end of the night I feel so empty, empty, empty.
Empty.
say at night, I find a lover that'll simply do. Ooh, ooh, cheap girls in action, I crave your reaction. By the end of the night, I feel so empty, 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 yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's my favorite. I love playing that one.
That's your favorite one?
I think that's my favorite one of all of them.
Yeah, why is that?
I feel like because I feel the most when I play it. I wrote it in a very dark time after a long relationship ended, and I was seeing a lot of different people and just not feeling anything about it.
Yeah.
I would just go out. I'd meet people. I would go home, or I'd take them home, or I was in a bad place, and I feel like a lot of great art comes from a really, like, dark place, or in a time of deep and dark struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, I don't even know, I think I, like, a lot of things, songs just kind of come, and they come out kind of like vomit, and you can't stop it.
Yeah.
So, a lot of these songs were written anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes, at least the initial skeleton.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So, how much time total would you spend on a song before you thought it was ready?
Well, that's the thing. See, there's that one, which I felt like was ready when I finished it. That was one of the only songs where I was very happy with how I finished and how I wrote it and how it came out and how it came out on the record. But I don't know. What was the question again?
How much time do I spend on a song total?
I don't know. Because sometimes, like, I wrote a song maybe 6-7 years ago that I just changed all the words to, and I'm going to put it on my new album.
Oh, shit.
I just changed all the words. I never released it. I put it on, like, a crappy demo a long time ago.
Okay.
I changed up the structure. And I changed all the words, or most of the words. And I'm actually a lot happier with the way that came out, and also the meanings of songs that I write change.
Yeah.
So if I'm feeling a certain way and I hear a melody of something that I've written a long time ago, I'll just go ahead and I'll just erase and I'll start from scratch.
Okay. So the one that you changed it entirely? Was there any of the old thing that you kept?
I kept the hook. I changed all the verses.
Mm-hmm.
I kept the chords the same. I added some musical interludes and some riffs. But for the most part, it's like pretty much a new one. Like, I don't remember it. That's how I know it's fresh. It's like if I can't sing it without seeing it, it's a fresh, freshy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It takes me, like, I guess, singing it and laying it down and, like, really, like, listening to myself, which we were talking about earlier about listening to ourselves talking, how I hate it, but, like, you have to do it. And because I have so many words in my songs and so many tongue twisters, I have to go over it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that comes from all the, like, hip-hop and weird crap that I listened to growing up.
Yeah, you just got that. Like, lyrical memorization down really well.
Yeah, I guess, like, I used to, like, memorize lines to Eminem. I used to memorize Nas lines. But, like, when I was, like, in fourth, fifth grade and I didn't know what music was, but, like, these songs would stick in my head and, like, I would repeat words. And the first recollection I have is singing Lady Be Good by Ella Fitzgerald as, like, a 3-year-old doing the scat parts and replicating her exactly. Uh-huh. Or, like, singing out all of Brian May's queen, like, guitar riffs, and before I learned to play the guitar, just like, sitting down with it and learning and repeating a lot of guitar, a lot of music is repetition. So,
oh yeah, I mean, if you're playing the same songs over and over again,
then... and like you like to change it up, like we don't like to have the same shit over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like we'll change it up, we'll lengthen, we'll shorten. It depends on where we're playing and who we're playing to. Is a big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah.
Do you ever do, like, covers in the middle of a set also, or is it mostly all original?
The only cover I did actually with my band was for Halloween, and we dressed as Spinal Tap. So we did Tonight I'm Gonna Rock You Tonight as Spinal Tap.
Oh my God.
Which was awesome.
Okay.
And it was it made a dream come true for me.
Oh.
It was like one of the first movies I ever saw growing up. So I was just like, you know, I need to like really do this, like, and do it justice. So that's awesome. Did. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a really great way to spend Halloween, no, for sure.
But I definitely like adding covers into the set. It's good. It's like people like to hear something that's recognizable that they could dance to. I used to play in a bar band. So like we used to just go and we'd have like an 11 to 1 a.m. set all night.
Uh-huh.
We got paid. It got paid a lot and we got free food. But that kind of killed me inside after a lot of times doing that kind of stuff where I'm sitting there and I'm like, and it's fine. I love karaoke, but I don't want to be that bar band. I don't think I, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and there's something about expressing yourself and being able to get your own voice out there that I think a lot of people try to experience and accomplish for sure.
However, if anybody wants to start a punk rock wedding band, like, hit me up.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun
time. About to make that paper on the punk front.
Yeah. So while we start taking in calls or numbers, which we're not actually going to do.
Right, that would be great.
For a punk rock wedding band. Let's listen to a couple of other songs, hang out for a bit. These are a couple of other just cool bands from around the area. We're going to start with Starbenders' Time Stops. We'll be back in a little bit. Again, this is Here and Now on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Betrays my body, mutiny within my chest, got chills running through me, my
And welcome back to Radio Free Brooklyn. Again, this is Here and Now. My name is Erin. Rachel cannot be here this evening, but I am hanging out here with Monty, who has very nicely been chatting with us and hanging out and played a song earlier. And we were talking a little bit about the process of like making music and stuff like that. A question I had that I wanted to get back to, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Was you kind of mentioned that you thought that most of your that songs come from like a very emotional place. Do you think that's true for all of your songs then?
I think it's true for most songs, period. Mm-hmm. I guess you have to be emotional to put your heart on a piece of paper and to perform it. Even if it's not sad, it could still like be extremely emotional, or you could have written it at a time of pure bliss, you know? But I think that a majority of my songs and my writing do come from a dark place. Mm-hmm. And I guess I listen to a lot of dark music, and I've been thinking about it, and I asked my friend about this the other day. We were thinking about songs that we like. There is no happy song out there that I can genuinely say that I love.
Really?
Like, I can't name a happy, a song that's genuinely, like, besides a love song, besides, like, an R&B, I mean, like, a rock song that's, it's all, like, kind of sad. Song. Yeah, like, a happy rock song.
I mean, there's that, I mean, going back to Green Day, this is, there's, like, that Pop Rocks and Coke song.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's technically a love song in a way, but it is,
I mean,
happy.
Yeah, I actually am no Green Day expert, so I'm not gonna comment on that.
Yeah, that's all right.
But I like think about it, and a lot of the songs that I listen to are either cynical, they're not really happy, they're about, you know, oh, my life's a drag, but this, whatever, I'm gonna go through with it, or my life sucks, but we're gonna party and we're gonna drink it through.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, my girlfriend left me and I'm literally drowning and I have nowhere to go and I have no one to talk to, and or I'm going to rage out and I'm going to want to fight. And so a lot of these songs come from sadness and then go out in aggression. It's like a dude mentality. Right. It's like
a little bit,
a little like a dude, uh-huh. Like, you know, I'm not sad, I'm angry. So it's like, I feel like a lot of my songs are, instead of feeling sad and like self-deprecating or lamenting, then I would just turn it around and make it a more rebellious or revolutionary type of song.
Ooh.
As opposed to, I'm so sad that everything sucks, you know?
Sure. So you'd say that most of your music is a little bit of like a fuck you to the things that are bothering you?
I feel like, yeah. Especially with the genre being rock and roll, yeah. It's like generally anarchist. It's an anarchist kind of genre.
Feels like anarchy.
It feels like anarchy. We're not here to discuss grammar.
No, we are not.
So I feel like a lot of rock and roll is a big middle finger. Yeah. And I guess there aren't enough girls flipping the bird.
Yeah.
Anymore, anyway. Like, I mean, there's always Riot Girl, and there was a lot of girls in the punk, but and then there are women in politics who are definitely flipping the bird.
Absolutely.
We're all praying for RBG. Yep. Just like everybody, please, keep your fingers crossed.
Please hang in there.
But seriously, though, I mean, there isn't enough space for women to, like, flip it off.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what bitch was. It was basically taking a word that's generally looked at as, you know bad, or, you know, just derogatory in its own sense.
Yeah.
And flipping it and flipping the tune and making it like, you know what? Fuck you. I am a bitch. And that means I'm fucking rad and I'm a go-getter. And just like a guy is like a go-getter, like, yeah, he's a real bulldog. It's all positive. He's a real shark in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, it's like, oh, she's a real bitch. Oh, can't stand her. Like, she's such a bossy bitch. And that's really fucked up that we have that double standard.
It's definitely a double standard. It might be changing, but it's changing way really, really slowly. Like,
so
way
slow.
Too slowly. Like, I'll often feel like, you know, if I'm angry or upset at something, I mean, I'm not generally I don't yell. I feel like I need to, like, be the calm one in any mm-hmm. given situation, just to like keep things low down, yeah. which I think is, I mean, I think it's fine in a sense because you right. don't want to have like everyone screaming at each other all the time.
Totally.
But at the same time,
there's a time and a place for things.
Yeah.
Obviously. But it's just about like if you're put in a situation where you're in an office or you're in a restaurant or wherever you work.
Yeah.
And somebody is mistreating you and calling you names, call them out on that. Yeah. Like, absolutely call them out. Go to HR, go to a supervisor, or don't snitch. I don't care. Just stand up for yourself. Not enough women are doing it, and not enough women are speaking their mind. And I think especially with the political climate that we're living in, it's particularly important for people to start sticking up.
Yeah. Have you had, like, a moment where you've, like, been very proud of yourself for doing that recently?
Recently? No, I feel like, but I have in the past, especially when I worked in the service industry, and you always have to stand up for yourself. You're working in a kitchen full of guys. A lot of them aren't from here, and a lot of them are hitting on you. Mm. And you have to say, listen, like, bro, I told you to stop multiple times. And, yeah. you know,
yeah.
to really tell them off. But I haven't had a situation recently where somebody's been really, like, down my throat about my gender or something like that, which is good. No, it's a great thing. It's because I guess I've been surrounding myself with so many positive women and, like, so many communities of women that it's just, like, I don't see it anymore. But I remember I have a story, though, really short.
Go for it.
A couple of years ago, I was driving my car. I drive a convertible, and it's red, and it's, like, it's, like, a little Mini Cooper, and it's pretty, like, out there. And some guy cut me off, and I let him cut me off. But while he did that, I had to get out of the lane I was in or else he would have smacked into me. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, I accidentally cut another guy off.
Oh.
And I didn't mean to. And I got right back into my lane and I thought all was good. And this douchebag in a Cadillac pulls up next to me. He rolls down his window. He starts yelling obscenities at me. Like the dude had a bad day or something. But yelling obscenities and saying, yeah, fuck you fucking dyke with your fucking dyke haircut. I had a really short haircut at the time.
God.
And he kept calling me fucking names. And finally, I was just like, listen, you fucking piece of shit. I start going at it with him because I'm Italian and I don't take that shit. So I was like, well, fuck you fucking piece of shit. I get more pussy than you any day. But, like, I don't think that's necessarily, it's road rage. Yeah. Don't have a fight with somebody because they might have a gun.
Yeah. But, speaking of someone from Texas, that's definitely something to keep in mind.
However, it did feel good to actually say something and not just brush it off, which I've done so many times where it's just like, I'm just going to look straight at the road while this person yells at me. Just going to look straight at the road and not have any kind of interaction.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had to. He was yelling like horrible obscenities and like calling me a dyke. I was like, I don't think so.
That's terrible. I mean, yeah. And there are definitely situations where, like I've had things where it's not necessarily yelling, but I've definitely been like, hey, you need to stop that now. Like, absolutely not. This is not okay.
Absolutely.
Like, why are you doing that? And I've started taking on like a thing where I start even if it's not like aggressively just like calling people out on their shit sometimes, like
totally
things at work or something, just trying to find a way to be like, hey, you know, I don't think this is okay. Maybe don't do it.
Yeah. Right. And like, and that's completely appropriate and the way that things should be handled. Absolutely. Don't fucking yell at anybody at the workplace.
You know,
unless they really deserve it,
right? And unless you don't plan to
see them again or anything,
something like that. and so, speaking of that, you said you had another song for us about this.
Yeah, I'll do "Bitch," an acoustic version. It's gonna sound bluegrassy, but I think it'll be cool.
I'm ready for
it. All right, let's do it. Oh, this was the single, by the way.
Yeah,
and you can get it on "Bad Sick Love" as well. Whoops, I'm gonna mess up and start over again because my guitar is out of tune. There we go, here it is. I figure by you can't contain it, don't wanna hear your explanation. We've had our better days. Most banana foggy haze, I wake up every single day.
never waste my time to pray for no more dreaded fights with you. Call me a bitch, I guess it's true. And if you see me tonight, I will be the bitch you like. And if you see me alive, and I'll tell you where I was last night. Our harmonies that sing so sweet are flat notes. Now at our feet, you were my one, my muse. Now you're mad that we're all news. As much as I would love to lie, break you down, make you cry, rather watch you die alone. And I don't wanna call your own. And if you see me tonight, yeah, I will be the bitch you like. And if you see me alive, trust me, my lifestyle that makes me sick. Don't give a fuck what you think, and I guess that makes me, well, I guess that makes me a fucking bitch. And if you see me tonight, yeah, I will be the bitch you like. Bitch acoustic.
Bitch acoustic, everybody. That, I mean, that made me incredibly happy.
Oh,
and thank you again.
Absolutely.
How did that feel?
No, it feels good. I don't think I've ever done that acoustic, so that was a little strange.
No, really?
But yeah. No, I don't think I ever have, unless I was doing it for somebody or like,
yeah,
or whatever.
Like early on in the
planning
stage. Or
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it worked? Would you do it again?
Yeah, I'd do it again. I would probably release an acoustic album.
Oh, okay.
That might be in the
somewhere
works.
Along the line.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you have a music video for that now, right?
Yeah, we did the music video. So I worked with this girl named Clementina. She works in a studio called KXB Studios.
Cool.
And they do animation, and they're very cool little, like, doodle works. And the artwork for the album was done by a guy named Liam. He goes by Lunatunes. He's a mural artist from Australia, and he's rad. So I took his stuff or inspiration from his works and some of his actual art, and I had Clementina animate it at her studio. And so I wanted an animated music video because I always loved cartoons, and I always saw myself as like a crazy cartoon. I'm a little bit surreal. And so I decided to create a cartoon image of myself and have a storyline get developed. It was a collaboration between me and the studios.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, basically my general idea, and then I kind of let them take it to whatever artistic level they wanted to.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're doing another music video for...
For No One to Say I Love You. I don't have the date on that yet. I just have, like, the storyboard and everything planning and everything in the works.
That's awesome.
I'm going to be going out to L.A. to do that. And also, I have a bunch of shows planned.
Yeah, that was the next
question. Yeah.
What's up for you? I know 2019 is around the corner.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
It's around that time.
It is around that time. New year, new me. So... So I'm going out with my guys. I'm going out with my drummer Ishmael to L.A.
Yeah.
We're going to stay out in L.A. We're hopefully going to play a couple shows out there. The shows aren't solidified yet, but they will be within the next couple of days.
Awesome.
So we're heading out there on the 21st. We'll be in L.A. through the 24th. And then we're going to Anaheim to go to the NAMM show, which is like a big music convention. And hopefully get some people interested in giving me free strings and cables. That would be awesome.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, because like anything helps for a starving artist. Yeah. Really, please give me things. Mm-hmm. But really, it's going to be a fun networking time, and we're planning on playing at least one show in LA and a show in San Diego. And okay. When we come back, we got the crew, Ismail, drummer, and Amanda on bass playing at St. Vitus. We have Metal Leg on the bill. They're awesome. They're really cool, like punk trio I dig. I saw them at Secret Project Robot a couple of months ago and like kind of fell in love with them. And like, I think they played, another show at the Knit. Anyway, I saw them and I had this total like weird straight girl crush on all of them. So they're going to totally be playing. Yeah. So they're great. They're going to be playing that show at St. Vitus. They're rad. They're like the Ramones, but like a lot better than the Ramones.
That's awesome.
And then maybe this band called Terminal Fury. They're a metal band. They're really cool. They're buddies of mine. Nice, super nice dude. And they shred their faces off. So definitely worth going to that St. Vitus show. It's February 9th.
February 9th.
It's a Saturday, yeah.
And if they want to check out where you're going to be,
yeah.
MontyOfficial.com.
MontyOfficial.com. We're actually revamping our website because it looks like a fifth grader made it, because I did, because I made it. I'm not in fifth grade, but I have the web designer skills as, you know
there are people who do that professionally.
That's totally right, and that's why I have somebody helping me out. So I have somebody helping me with the website. But yes, you could go on MontyOfficial.com or you can go Monty the Official, which is our Facebook, which nobody's ever on. I'm not on. We only have like 150 followers. But follow us, please, because I don't know how Facebook works. And Instagram, we're Monty.music. And that's basically where all the content, you'll see all of the upcoming show dates. We're really just more active on Instagram because we're like super visually appealing people.
Yeah, it's it's pretty good stuff on there. Well, yeah. I follow it also. Again, that's Monty, M-O-N-T-E.
Not Monte.
Not M-O-N-T-E-E or any sort of variety like that. Just Monty.
That's a band from Australia. I think what happened was I went to set up my bands in town and they I came across a band that spelled it Monty, but then in parentheses they said Monte, and I was like, God, that is so lame.
So where did you get your name? Where did you choose
it's,
Monty
I guess
from?
It's a derivative of my last name. I needed something short, sweet, and fast and simple, and I was like, that kind of works and it hits. So last name Montclair, first name Monty.
And that how long did it take you to come up with that? I'm actually really curious.
Oh, well, I had a couple of things. I guess I had a couple of like stupid alliteration band names that I thought would be fun with my name, but they were just cheesy. Just a really cheesy. So I wanted something like Gaga or like, you know, like one of those one name like Cher.
Like one name, not long.
Diva with a guitar. No. No, it's like because it's a band and it's also like I'm fronting that. So it is me. It's an extension of myself. And so that's what that is.
That's awesome. And on that lovely note, I'm afraid that we are running out of time and we've got another group coming up behind us. So we're going to end it here. But thank you again.
Thank you so much
for coming and hanging out. That's Monty. Go find them everywhere. And if you're in California and you're listening, go see them when they come in January.
Yeah, we're coming to your town.
Yeah.
Coming to your town.
The whole place. So thank you guys again. This was Here and Now on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Erin. And as many of us will be saying over the next couple of days, happy almost New Year. Goodbye.
I get bored, so I wanna get drunk. I know how that goes, so I ain't gonna touch it. I get bored and wanna fight.